were killed by friendly fire.
Israelis are in shock after soldiers shot and killed three hostages in a case of mistaken identity. The incident occurred during a firefight with Hamas gunmen in Gaza City. The army said the hostages were mistaken for terrorists and described the incident as a tragedy. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
The military says it has launched an investigation. Attacks launched by Yemen-based Houthi rebels in the Red Sea are affecting trade. Shipping company Maersk says it's instructed vessels that were supposed to pass through the southern Red Sea to pause their journeys until further notice. Correspondent David Martin from the Pentagon.
The Houthis have said they're going to keep this up as long as the Israeli offensive continues in Gaza. So the U.S. doesn't want to take this job on by itself.
Jurors are deliberating how much two former election workers in Georgia should be awarded after Rudy Giuliani claimed they helped steal the 2020 election. CBS's Scott McFarlane on the tens of millions in damages they're seeking.
Plaintiff's attorney is arguing that you have to send a message to prevent this from happening again, that conspiracy theories and disinformation are sowed to the detriment, to the pain, involving threats against two ordinary Americans. The punitive damages have no estimated dollar amount.
Michigan State University has reached settlements with the families of three students who were killed in a mass shooting.
The attorney for the family of Alexandria Verner says they'll receive about $5 million from MSU.
MSU did the right thing. They stepped up.
He says the case was never about blaming the school.
It was never about that. It was about promoting the legacy of Alex Verner.
Verner, along with Brian Frazier and Ariel Anderson, were shot to death during the mass shooting on February 13th. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
A British teen who disappeared 6 years ago was found in southern France. Greater Manchester Police Assistant Chief Chris Sykes.
Alex and his family remain our focus, and we still have some work to do in establishing the full circumstances surrounding his disappearance and where he has been in all those years.
Former First Lady and naturalized citizen Melania Trump spoke at a naturalization ceremony at the National Archives.
For me, reaching the milestone of American citizenship marked the sunrise of certainty.
It was a rare public appearance for Melania Trump. Stocks are mixed on the final day of the trading week. The Dow is down 56 points. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Pluto TV is your home for the holidays with 9 holiday channels, including holiday movie favorites by Lifetime, plus Hallmark movies and more, all for free. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
Don't let a cold, sinus infections, or allergies ruin your holidays. Add Navage to your gift list so you can breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier all year long. Ask for Navage at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, or find us online at Navage.com.
Wendy's Peppermint Frosty and Frosty Cream Cold Brew make the perfect gift for anyone in your life, especially for you. Yeah, this year you're sitting on your own lap and getting yourself what you want. Finally. And if you need a little more pep in your step, get yourself a refreshing peppermint frosty cream cold brew. Or you can give it to your mom. Whatever.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Vanilla Frosty is temporarily unavailable.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, December 18th. In Wood County, the Land Information Council will meet at 10 AM at the courthouse in room 114. The Central Wisconsin State Fair Board of Directors will meet at 6:30 in Marshfield. In Portage County, the Health and Human Services Board will meet at 4:30 in the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The City of Stevens Point will hold their regular council meeting at 7 p.m. in the Community Room on Michigan Avenue. In Adams County, the Library Board will meet from 2 to 3 at the Adams County Library. There's a street closed in Wisconsin Rapids today. 21st Avenue South between West Grand Avenue and Alton Street will be closed to through traffic. Crews from Water and Light are performing a utility service repair that started at 7:30 this morning. They expect to finish at noon today. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Hello, highs hitting the mid-40s once again. Under mostly cloudy skies, we have a quite mild day today. However, chances of showers start to move in later this evening. And as the temperatures drop to near the freezing mark by early morning, we do have a chance to wake up to a wintry mix. Currently, it's 46.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 15th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maloff. In part two, we're looking forward to talking with our friends over at the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. Chad and Stacy will be joining us. We'll talk about all things winter in this Wood County area. But right now, talking to Senate District 24 Representative, Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston. Good morning, sir. Good afternoon, I should say.
Hey, James.
Hey. How are you?
James, how are you?
I'm doing good. How have you been?
Well, staying busy. It's been a flurry of activity down in Madison as we close out the fall session and gear up for the new year. And I can't complain.
I want to. It's a perfect place for us to start, sir. I'd like to go right there. December hits, or maybe even it happens around Thanksgiving or so. We all understand the holiday marathon that kicks in right around Halloween and kind of goes right to the end of the year. No matter what business you're in or what you do for a living, chances are you're busy this time of year. But it seems a little different for you guys. What is the vibe like? Is there a rush to get bills done, to get things in place? Or is it more so kind of like a I don't want to say coasting, because I don't think you guys ever coast at your job necessarily. But what is the mood like there in Madison this time of year?
Well, this time of year, it is always chaotic down in Madison. It seems like once we kick off the fall session, it is just a flurry of activity. You've got constant committees who are in work trying to get bills through the committee process and so they can get ready and schedule for the floor when we reconvene in early January. And so that same trend has continued. And so we've been extremely busy down in Madison. In fact, even just about a week and a half ago, the governor signed dozens of different bills. And I was really proud to have five bills signed into law, one of which is a product of, and we've talked about this in the past, that was brought to our attention from the DA and assistant DA down in Adams County, closing a loophole in the statutes that relates to sexual conduct. And really, really glad we got that one passed. It was not a comfortable one to discuss or talk about, but one I'm glad that we got across the finish line with unanimous support. And again, it was really thanks to the folks, the DAs down in Adams County, who brought this to our attention. And we've closed a significant loophole within our statutes as it relates to sexual contact. Mm-hmm. And again, thankful that we were able to get this one done.
Yeah, that's a really important one. I appreciated not only your work and your colleagues' work on that one, but being able to talk about it and address those things as we did in previous interviews. You mentioned five bills. What were some of the other bills that you were happy to get through?
Another one that was I was really pleased to get done was the Farmland Preservation Tax Credit bill. This was legislation that we have worked on for the past three sessions that, for one reason or another, just sort of died on the vine every time it was introduced. But thankfully, we kind of regrouped and recalibrated and made some tweaks and changes to it. But again, another bill that is going to help our farmers, which is really great because it's not just going to help our farmers, it's good for our natural resources. And given the fact that we've lost nearly 1 million acres of farmland over the last 10 to 12 years, this is going to go a long way to ensure that we still have viable ag land here in the state. And more importantly, it's going to help farmers incentivize to be good stewards and take care of our natural resources. So it's good for our soil, it's good for our clean water. And more importantly, it helps our ag industry out. And so that was another one that got signed. A third bill that I was really pleased to see get done deals with some of the third-party delivery apps that people have really come to utilize and find popular. But one of the challenges that's occurred is that a lot of restaurants have found their menus and their proprietary information on some of these platforms that they didn't have their consent. And so we worked with the Restaurant Association along with the third party delivery platforms like Uber Eats and Grubhub to come up with a really good compromise that just puts in place some standards in which they have to get approval and the consent of these restaurants to have that information posted on their website. Because oftentimes when there were issues with deliveries, it may not have been the fault of the restaurant because they had no idea that their information was even posted on this platform. So putting in place some good consumer protections, making sure that delivery drivers have some basic knowledge of basic sanitary and food safety. And I was really glad that another one that, you know, we introduced last session and sort of stalled and brought it back this time around again with some few tweaks and changes, and it became law.
It's we're only going more into the food delivery services, whether it's getting the foods delivered to ourselves or people working in that industry. Addressing those things is vital going forward. That's an important one to be addressed, and that's good to hear. You had some other bills that you were going to mention there. I don't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, a couple of the other smaller ones were just some not monumental bills, but one dealing with our lake districts, where essentially they can send out notifications via email. Current state statute basically says you have to send out via first class mail a notification when lake districts meet. But again, I think one of the silver linings, if there were any, during COVID and the pandemic was that, look, we live in a modern age. People are able to communicate via email, via Zoom. And so just making a minor update there to for no snail mail. And again, it's not a revolutionary bill by any means, but just trying to modernize some of our things and how some of our governmental bodies can communicate with their constituents within that area. And for lake districts, this was one that they were really hoping to see done, and it became law.
As a side note, it seems in the time talking with you, Congressman Kind, Representative Krug, Katrina Shankland, it often seems sometimes that the quote-unquote smaller bills make the biggest impacts.
Well, that's just it. I mean, I don't think it's any secret out there that oftentimes technology moves faster than what government can keep up with. And so a lot of times, many of the bills that you see is just trying to keep pace, because oftentimes we are behind the eight ball as it relates to our statutes and trying to modernize some of those. And so this is one of those prime examples where just trying to update things so our laws, our statutes reflect the change in how people communicate and just sort of evolve with the technology of the time.
I want to go back to the Protecting Our Farmland bill, just to go into a little bit into the details of that one. The heart of the bill is an increase to their per acre tax credit for farmers. This is one of those chief concerns that goes back to the 2018 with this. Just a couple of quick stats from this: an increase from $7.50 to $10 per acre for farms that are in the farmland preservation zoning district. There's an increase of $5 to $10 per acre for farms that are subject to a preservation agreement. So a lot of these things seem to be attached to conservation. Is that an effort to not only obviously keep our health, our state healthy, but to also make sure that, hey, we got people coming here that can fish, that can, you know, ski and hunt and all these things?
Oh, absolutely. It's not a one or the other approach. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we've proven that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. And one of the reasons why this was so critical is based on survey results that have been sent out by the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection over the last several years. We saw a huge decline in the Farmland Preservation Tax Credit Program. And one of the reasons why we've seen a decline is, one, the tax credits hadn't been increased in many years, nearly 20 years for that matter. And also the time commitment was 15 years, which is a long time for someone to try and utilize these tax credits. And so, based on some of the feedback and survey results that came back into DATCAP, really showed that, you know what, this is a really well-intentioned program. Wisconsin's been a leader on this going back to the 1970s. However, as we all know, with inflationary costs, it really wasn't cost efficient for people to continue in this program. And so that's why we increased the tax credits, created a fourth one, And really, this is about making sure that we have healthy soil, that we have clean water, and still being able to help our farmers who have been dealing with a lot of challenges over the last several years. Input costs are through the roof. And so this is just another way to give them another tool in their toolbox to, use best management practices that, again, preserve our clean water, but also still allow our farmers to farm and ensure that, Wisconsin is a national leader in the ag economy.
And it does seem like that's another layer to this of helping, not only helping our farmers, but maybe incentivizing farmers staying in the industry, maybe making new farmers. We get people out there starting new farms and that. There's a number of layers to that and encourage people to look into this bill and all these bills and the depth and the details of them. We're speaking with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston. Sir, as long as we've been talking and doing this, and you've been doing this a long time, I don't believe in the last couple of years I've ever seen more, almost every article I read or any research I do on a bill in this state, it usually starts with bipartisan support. Do you feel we've seen more of that than ever in the last couple of years of this state becoming much more of a purple state than a red or a blue state?
Well, I think that's been a common trend for the last several sessions, especially in my time down in Madison. This is going on my fifth legislative session, or sixth legislative session, I should say. And, every time that every session, we normally pass about 90 to 95% of the bills with bipartisan support, even more so now in divided government. And I think that's a testament to the fact that we realize, look, we understand that there are going to be some big differences between the Republican-led legislature and, having Tony Evers in the governor's office. And so, we try to navigate that as best that we can and find areas of compromise where we can hopefully advance some good legislation, knowing that maybe there are some other items that we'd really love to get done, but we just know that the governor has a difference of opinion, which is to be expected. But trying to still be able to get things done for our respective districts is at the front of mind for all of my colleagues, and trying to figure out, okay, we can find areas of agreement here, maybe not in other areas, but again, trying to put our best foot forward to advance good public policy. And, I often say, I think our folks at the federal level could probably take note, and they'd probably be able to get a lot more done, as opposed to focusing on the hyper-partisan fights that seem to dominate our headlines. But at least down in Madison, for the most part, while we've had some dust-ups, to be sure, and no one's perfect, and no one has a halo above their head, but, that's been a huge focus on us, is try and find the wins where we can and find the agreement, as opposed to just be at loggerheads 24/7, which frustrates everyone, including myself. And so, I think we found a really good place, and as a result, just based on about a week and a half ago having the governor sign nearly 60 bills, all of which had bipartisan support, I think sends a really good message to the folk, to people out there.
I've said before, and I stand on this, I genuinely believe that Wisconsin can be a beacon, can be an example to the rest of the union of how these things work. We got away from when we started this country, we didn't want one voice. We that was the point. We create these three branches of government, so there's no king, there's no monarchy or anything like that. We understood early on that this country is going to have many voices and many opinions, and they all matter. They all are important. And I bring this up because I want to get into a bipartisan group of Wisconsin lawmakers this Wednesday received a push to implement ranked choice voting and nonpartisan blanket primaries in the battleground state. Sir, I don't know how much you and I have gotten a chance to talk about ranked choice voting, but I'd like to know, one, how you feel about it, and two, the chances you think of that happening here in this state one way or the other.
Yeah, so this legislation has obviously garnered a lot of attention. There was a very lengthy hearing in the Senate Elections Committee this week, and I think it's well intentioned, and I can understand where the authors are coming from. My standpoint is I have grave concerns about it, and I think our system's pretty clear. You get one vote, and I think the problem with the bill in its current form is that I think it's going to cause a lot of confusion. And so from my standpoint, I think it's problematic. And so I can't get there on it. I don't understand why we would dramatically change the way we are set up. And again, I get where they're coming from, some of the arguments for it, but I just think it's too much of a dramatic change. It's going to cause too much confusion, and I can't get behind it.
I will say this, and I'm not big on the whole debate thing. You take this side, I take that side, and go. I don't like that. I think that's very boring radio and very boring entertainment. But I do want to say that my big pushback on this is something that you said there about confusing. For one, I think the American people are smart enough to be able to handle this, and I think that they can work this out. I think that also this has been created, and this has become more of a topic mainly because of you, and not you, sir, in general specifically, but politicians in general. We've seen more than ever politicians kind of leaning into their party and almost not knowing a lot of what they represent, but what their party represents, which is great for the party, but not necessarily great for a district. We've already had to do a number of things when it comes to voting that push the envelope, if you will. But one thing I think that needs to be really addressed here, the act of voting should not be difficult. That, you know, once you getting somebody to a ballot box shouldn't be difficult. I think we've gotten away from, though, the idea of you should have to think about your vote. You should have to, there's some thought that should have to go into this. It shouldn't be that easy to just decide, okay, I want this person because they're that party. Like, we've gotten so party centric that it's become, people are treating their party like it's a sports team. Something like this separates that. All of a sudden you have to stand on your morals, on what you are representing.
Well, and that's certainly one of the arguments that the proponents of this push have been pushing. And so it was interesting. So I was down in Madison when the public hearing was taking place, and I had it on the background of my office watching it. And what was really unique is that they had a former congressman from Maine 2nd District, and Maine recently implemented a version of this out there. And, you know, one of the arguments that he had against this proposal, and it stems from one of the arguments in favor of this proposal, is that it tones down our politics and the hyper-partisanship. And, you know, from his experience having lived through it, I mean, he said that in his campaign, first campaign where this was implemented, the nasty campaign ads didn't go away. The partisanship didn't disappear. And that it did cause a lot of confusion for voters out there. And so, you know, I thought it was a really interesting take hearing from someone who's been through this. And then ironically, on the other side of it, former Congressman Reed Ribble from Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District was there to testify in support. So it was a really interesting dynamic where you had two former congressmen, both of the same party, one who was in favor of this, and then one who was opposed to this in a state where they had implemented ranked choice voting. So, you know, it's certainly an interesting concept, no question about it. There is a lot of interest from some very influential folks from around the state, many business leaders who I would probably describe as center right, who have been pushing this. But again, based on some of the feedback I've seen from some of my other colleagues, I think it's going to be a really tough sell to see this one get through. And again, I've got my concerns about it. And I guess from my perspective, you know, when I go out and campaign, I'm out there knocking on doors every single day during the campaign season and having real conversations with people. And so that way they get to know me personally and, you know, to have that dialogue and have that relationship. And it's the same approach that, you know, we take in the off years where you're out in the community, people get to know who you are personally and understand where you're coming from. And you know, yes, I'm a Republican. I came up in my political time through a county party system, you know, starting at the grassroots level. And you know, I agree with 100% of what, you know, where the Republican Party's at today. Of course not. And I wouldn't expect anyone to. And so, you know, ultimately, when people go to the ballot box, I don't necessarily, and I think this is especially true for Wisconsin, where people don't necessarily automatically look at the letter that's behind their name. They look at the person that they know, that they trust. And that's where I have faith in our system as it stands currently, despite all the partisanship that we see out at D.C., is that at least here in Wisconsin, I represent a district that, you know, has voted that Scott Walker is carried, that Tammy Baldwin is also carried, or that Donald Trump has carried, but yet, you know, we've elected this district carry Janet Protasiewicz. So, you know, I would say it's a purple district, mm-hmm. much like many districts here in the state. And so, you know, I think that to me tells me I have to work hard to go out there and justify why voters should send me back. And mm-hmm. that's the approach I've always taken.
I think that we can both agree, though, that this topic one way or another is not going away. And if the divisiveness continues and continues to push people to something like this, it's going to be on the ballot box many times. This conversation is not going to stop with that. If we see that increase, although I think we see a pullback from that, and you could see this topic possibly go away. But right now, it doesn't look like it's going anywhere anytime soon. Sir, we only got a couple minutes left. I wanted to touch on a couple of things with you before we wrap up. The Christmas at the Capitol. The Christmas tree got there earlier this month. I'm curious to know, because we don't get a chance to just have fun much. You know, we get into really serious stuff and everything. Last couple of minutes, want to be able to have a little fun with you. Last time we're talking for the year. When it comes to Christmas in Madison, Christmas at the Capitol, what is one of your favorite things about it?
I think, honestly, this time of year, it's so great. And every time the Christmas tree is brought into the rotunda this year. I mean, this tree is massive. I have no idea how they got this in through the doors. I think it's probably one of the biggest trees that we've ever had displayed in the rotunda. And what's so great about it is that it gets decorated with ornaments from elementary students all across the state. And you get to see some of the creativity and just some of the things that they've, some of the decorations that they made. And it's really a great time. And it's not just about the Christmas tree, too. In the rotunda as well, there's a Hanukkah display, and it's just great to recognize all the different holidays that are taking place this time of year. And it just, it really is an opportunity for us to kind of dial back and, you know, take off the partisan caps and really just be thankful for what we have. And, you know, that's the one message I can relay to folks is take some time, this holiday season, regardless what holiday you celebrate, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and really just be thankful for what we have, because we really are fortunate to live in such a tremendous state, what's going on across the globe. Let's just reflect and be thankful for everything that we have and we've been given, and kick off the new year and hopefully put our best foot forward, and we'll see what 2024 brings.
Do you got a favorite thing about this time of year as far as Christmas cookies, Christmas songs, music, anything like that? What's the Teston household like?
Well, even though my wife and I, we've been kind of two ships passing through the night as we've been bouncing back and forth between Madison and her office down in Waukesha. But, you know, was the last Friday, took some time to decorate the house and watch Christmas movies yeah, so we kind of do a his and hers. You get to pick the movie, I get to pick the movie, it was fun. And so we really enjoy it. And even last night, we had the chance to go to the holiday Ignite party with a bunch of young professionals and just kind of kick back, relax, and again, just be thankful for what we have.
Favorite Christmas song? Do you got one? I'm a big Jingle Bell Rock guy. I love Jingle Bell Rock.
Yeah, Jingle Bell Rock's a great one. I can't say I'm a huge fan of Mannheim Steamroller. I don't know what it is, but ever since I was a little kid, I mean, their entire album, it's one. If it's on, I got my ear tuned to it.
Right on. Sir, we always appreciate talking to you. It's been a great year of conversations with you, as always. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of the things we've talked about, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get hold of my office, or if you're having any issues with state government or various agencies, or you've got ideas on bills, legislation that's pending currently, or thoughts, reach out to my office at sen.teston@legis.wi.gov. Follow us on social media. Give us a call at 608-266-3123. And stay in touch. And as we kick off the new year, we're going to be out there making the rounds. And so stay tuned and hoping to see folks as we crisscross the 24th Senate District.
Always good talking with you, sir. Happy holidays to you and yours. We'll talk next year.
Same to you, James.
Thank you. And we'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. School staff at Meade Elementary School in Wisconsin Rapids are asking to help keep our Mustangs safe by not blocking the view of Safety Patrol. They're asking that you don't park on the south side of Alton Street between the orange safety cones along the yellow curb. When cars are parked there, the Safety Patrol students can't see to help students cross safely. Please help keep our students safe and don't park between the orange safety cones. The last Wisconsin Rapids Winter Farmers Market for 2023 is tomorrow. Don't miss the delicious foods, salsas and jams, tamales, fry pies, bakery goods, crafts, and so much more. If you're looking for Christmas gifts, they have unique items you can't find anywhere else. Buy local and support local at the Wisconsin Rapids Winter Farmers Market. December 16th is the last Saturday this year. The market will start up again on January 6th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Hello, highs hitting the mid-40s once again. Under mostly cloudy skies, we have a quite mild day today. However, chances of showers start to move in later this evening. And as the temperatures drop to near the freezing mark by early morning, we do have a chance to wake up to a wintry mix. Currently, it's 46.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 15th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. We're very happy and excited to welcome in friends of ours from the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. We have Chad Schooley, Parks and Forestry Director, with us. Chad, good to see you.
Hello, good to be here.
Thanks for being here, Chad. And Stacy, Kleifken? How did I say it? How do you say that? Kleifken. Stacy, you can mess up my last name all you want. It's really easy to do. It's a really easy one to mess up. But Stacy, thank you very much for being here. Stacy is the office supervisor over there at the Parks and Forestry Department.
Thanks for having me.
Very happy holidays to you and yours, both all you guys. Thanks for being here. And I mentioned this to Pam, mentioned to you guys in our pregame. We got to have you on more often. It's been too long since we had our Parks and Forestry Department on. We talk about you guys all the time, especially in our good stories of the day when we're encouraging people to do local events and stuff. There's always great things going on, and if you don't mind, I'd kind of like to start there with Powers Bluff and some of the great things going on over at Powers Bluff. Where would you like to start with that, Chad?
Sure. I think we can start out with just some of the projects that we've been completing and some of the future projects that we're looking at.
Sounds good. So what's new this year over at Powers Bluff?
Yeah, so over the last about 2.5 years, we've been putting some new trails up at Powers Bluff. And so in 2012... Wood County acquired adjoining property, 223 acres to the north of the old 160-acre park. And so the purpose of that really was to develop into more recreational opportunities for people. And over the last 2.5 years or so, we've been putting in multi-use trail, which is currently now, after completion, is a gravel surface trail. And we actually have about 3 miles of multi-use trail in right now. In addition to that, we also hired a contractor starting last year to put in basically mountain bike trail at that location. So really cool system out there. It has a different degree of difficulty. This past fall, the contractor completed the two very what I would consider very technical downhill segments. I'm not a bike rider as far as mountain biking goes, thinking about getting into it, crazy enough at my age, but the trails look pretty awesome. But those were completed this fall, so that basically brings the total number of miles to about almost 6 miles of mountain bike trail.
Nice. And I can see why you're looking and getting into it.
Yeah, so it's very, very cool. So those are some projects that have been completed up there.
Those are exciting projects. Yeah. I imagine, and you guys have been in these positions for a while, and so I imagine that it's a long time coming. It's got to feel really good to have these projects. You mentioned 2012. This has been a while we've been building this up.
It really has. You know, I've been in the director position since 2008, so it has been a while, and we've done a lot of planning for Powers Bluff since that point. There's a lot of planning that was done prior to me coming as well, so it is really cool to see a lot of these projects come to fruition ultimately. So,
how are things looking over at Powers Bluff? How are the hills? How is everything looking over there as far as this time of year?
Yeah, so Powers Bluff has been known for a long time as a tubing destination and or skiing. So we're waiting for snow.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
we don't currently have snowmaking equipment or anything like that, but all the signs are up, all the equipment is checked, ready to go. We just need some snow as far as that goes.
As soon as Mother Nature does, you know, gets into gear here and everything, we'll be up and ready to go. Honestly, I have to be honest with you, Chad. I didn't hear much after tubing. I miss tubing. I love tubing. Haven't gotten to do it in a long time. So that it's a real lot
of fun.
It is. It's one of the funnest parts about Powers Bluff over there. There's other things to do too, though. When it comes to this time of a season like this, where we don't get the snow right away. You mentioned the bike riding trails. There's other things as well.
Yes, so you're exactly right. You know, we don't have enough snow to groom the multi-use trail. So I can kind of go over some of the different uses out there on the trail system.
Yeah.
So in the winter months when we have sufficient snow and the multi-use trail is groomed, we do restrict a little bit as far as who can use that, right? It takes a lot of time and effort to prepare and groom those trails. So we really need the public to kind of play along.
Yes.
So those trails at that point would be open to snowshoeing.
Mm-hmm.
We set tracks for cross-country skiing. Mm-hmm. And then on the side of that trail is actually allowed for fat tire biking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the multi-use trail out there.
Yeah.
As far as the mountain biking trail, that is most of the trails are actually groomed by a volunteer, and he is a part of the Friends of Powers Bluff group. And so that individual last winter groomed about 4 miles of trail for fat tire biking.
Nice.
And so that's pretty cool.
It's a nice
hard surface and things like that. So again, we just ask that individuals, I know people love to get outside and hike and things like that, but unfortunately when they hike with their snow boots on groomed trail, it really does do damage pretty quickly, and it kind of ruins it for other intended users, right?
Yeah.
So it's tough, but we need to kind of separate users in the wintertime like that.
Right, so, and there are paths for that. There are places for that.
There are. And actually up at Powers Bluff, we've got up on the older part of the hill, we have a trail system. It's our nature trail. Potawatomi Trail is what it's called, Potawatomi Nature Trail. And that's not groomed or anything like that, but that is open for snowshoers. People can hike on that and things like that. So we just ask that people kind of separate, you know, where they're going. So.
It makes me think of a couple of things that we have that we need to, you know, every time this time of year, Sheriff Becker joins us. And one of the things him and I really hit on is snowmobiling and being respectful of people's lands. You know, it's not a birthright. It's something that it's a privilege that we have.
Absolutely.
And it's something that you can lose if we misuse these lands. People take that land away. It happens more and more every year, unfortunately. This is one of those things where we need to respect and appreciate that part of this, you know, of Powers Bluff and use it for its intended purposes so that other people can use it. It's not, I'm not asking a lot here. And there are other spots for you to use for the shoe walking and all these other things that are fun.
Yep,
snowshoeing and everything. I'm really showing my city boy roots right now. I'm like, the thing you do with the shoes in the snow. I have done that before. It's a lot of fun. I want to get into that a little bit with you guys now as far as Powers Bluff and the other things that are available. And Stacy, if you don't mind, put you on the spot. I mean, ask you questions. Stacy, Powers Bluff shelter can now be rented, correct? You can rent Powers Bluff shelter over there right now?
Yes, typically it's not open in the winter, but this year during the weekday, we're opening up to parties that want to use the shelter and bring their own sleds, and the tow lines won't be working, so you have to go hiking back up to the top to ride back down again. But the shelter is available to warm up, and we can even have our concessionaire come in and make some hot chocolate and some snacks, and your group can tube for the day or sled for the day.
And that's one of those things that you probably want to plan ahead about, get ahead of, you know, reach out to you guys whenever you know that you're going to need it as soon as you can.
Yeah, for all our group parties at Powers Bluff, we ask for about 2 weeks so we can get the schedule So the guys can get their schedule set and we can get things ready for it.
Cece, when it comes to working at the being the office supervisor over there, what are some of the bigger or more consistent questions you get in that position about Powers Bluff?
Recently, we've actually been asked a few times, people looking for ideas for gifts for Christmas. I have a nephew and I don't know what to get it for Christmas, but do you have like a season pass for Powers Bluff? And that's typically something we've never offered before. So we are coming out this year with a 10-punch card that you can purchase. And it doesn't have to be, if you've got two nephews, they don't each need their own. One family can use one card. It's just each punch is a tow ticket.
Very cool. That's a really cool idea. And was that something you guys have been talking about for a while or just kind of came about in the last year or so?
It just came about more recently, probably something that was always in the back of our minds, but more recently with people asking questions, we just kind of brainstormed together. And
I bring it up because something, and we've only been talking for a couple of minutes, but in previous conversations and this one, I think the audience picks up on this as well, that Powers Bluff is run by the people. You know, you guys are really all about that and really very adamant about, you know, what do you guys need? What is it that the people out there that are going to use Powers Bluff, what do you want to use? What are you going to enjoy? And coming up with things like a punch card or something like that really shows how much that it's really paying attention to what the community wants, what the community is looking for out of it. And it's also tough, too, with something like this, I imagine, Stacy, where we don't know when Mother Nature's going to bring us that snow. I mean, we think we know, and weather people give us a great heads up on these things always, but you just don't know when that's going to happen. So I imagine that this time of year can be a little bit rocky when it comes to that as well, just in the building, getting ready for all of this. How do you guys use this time while you're waiting for Mother Nature to get in the gear here and give us some snow? Is there anything, is it just extra planning, extra preparing or anything like that, or just kind of like taking a breath right now and getting ready for the madness that's going to come?
Probably just preparing everything. With Powers Bluff being our thing right now, we also have to look forward to the summer season with our camping and our shelters, and it's end of the year fiscally, so there's always something to keep us busy.
Yeah. You mentioned the punch card. How can people find out more about those or purchase one?
They can call our office. We're in Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, and they can order on the phone with a credit card. They can stop in and see us at the Riverblock building and pay with cash or check, and they will be available on the Hill when we have open sessions.
When it comes to Powers Bluff and when we are going to be using it this year, is renting equipment available over there for tubes and different things, Chad?
Yeah, so the tube hill, along with your tow ticket, there are tubes provided, right? So that's just a given. But the ski and the ski hill is kind of a beginner bunny hill. We have very, very limited equipment. So we have a few snowboards. They're just standard, use your own boot with the straps on there, kind of a lower key snowboard. And we do have some youth sizes as far as skis and ski boots. But we do recommend, for people, if they do have equipment, to bring their own equipment. Because, like I said, we don't have much up there.
I've talked to some people recently that are new to the area, that are enjoying the area, that moved here out of state and everything and have been enjoying the place. But they're new to a lot of the events and different things we have in this community. And when I mentioned to them, hey, this Friday I've got the gang from Parks and Rec on with us and everything, and we're going to be talking about Powers Bluff. Their eyes just lit up. What's Powers Bluff? That sounds really cool. First, the name is amazing. It's such a great name. It's going to catch people's attention. But if you had somebody like that, Chad's coming to you, hasn't heard of Powers Bluff, what would you tell them first about Powers Bluff? How would you explain it to them? What would you tell them about the area?
Oh, man.
That's a tough one. That's a tough question. Yeah.
So that park is, there are so many aspects of it, right? We didn't even touch on this, and it could be a whole different show, but there's such a historical historical aspect of that as far as different Native American communities that actually lived up there. There are two documented cemeteries up there. There's some ceremonial dance rings within that park. And I didn't touch base on that as far as future projects, but I am currently working with Potawatomi, Ho-Chunk, as well as a professor from the UW-Stevens Point on really coming up with a good historical signage plan for up there. And our intention is next year of finalizing that project, putting information up there, because that's a part of that that park that a lot of people don't know. They might know a little bit about it, but it's just such a very, very unique aspect of that. So that's part of it. Then obviously the recreation that we've been talking about, as far as the trail system, the tubing, skiing, things like that. And then there's the more the natural beauty of the park. So that park has certain plant species that really aren't found anywhere else, either in Wisconsin or in this area. If you go out there in the springtime, it just explodes with the wildflowers. Fall time is beautiful with all the colors just, you know, popping, things like that. So it's, you know, there's a little bit for everybody. And so someone new coming to the community asking about Powers Bluff, I guess it'd probably be a long conversation.
It'd be a good one. I have to warn you, Chad, you may have messed up. I'm a huge history nerd. I love history.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to bring you back. It's just a whole show on the history of Powers Bluff. I would love to get into that. The project that you touched on, and I want to get into more future projects with you as we're wrapping up, but that project you're talking about is not only a really important for many, many, many obvious reasons, I would think, to our listeners, but it's also very timely with the state. Wisconsin has been doing a lot to keep the history, whether it's Native American language or Native American, you know, traditions, a lot of those things, really working very hard to keep those intact. And some a project like that fits with that theme, really fits with things. And if there's, you know, I'm a transplant. I'm not from here. But if there's one thing that I've learned in the 20-some years I've lived in Wisconsin, Wisconsinites are proud of being from Wisconsin. And they're proud of Wisconsin. And one of the things that they're most proudest of is its history. And that's history, baby. That's your history. Right. That's Wisconsin history right there. So that is a fascinating and really cool thing to be able to offer, while also it just being kind of one of these things that's almost in the backdrop of all this. That's we're going to have that conversation. I've warned him, Stacy. I warned him. He's going to have to come back. I want to get it more into that. But before we do one day, let's talk about future projects.
Sure.
You mentioned that one right there. Are there other things in the works?
Yeah. So specifically at Powers Bluff, we haven't gotten the official paperwork yet, but hopefully we'll get it soon. But we have been tentatively awarded a DNR stewardship grant. It's a partial funding grant. The county would offset the remainder of that. But basically, in combination with all these new trails, we're looking at building a trailhead shelter building. So it would be multifaceted. Portion of it would be enclosed, and it would be year-round rentable for different community events. But there'd also be exterior kind of covered open shelter aspect of it, with restrooms, things like that, that would really be geared towards year-round trail users.
It sounded like a year-round thing.
So that's very exciting. If everything goes as planned, that's something that we'd be looking at next year breaking ground for. The highway department, county highway department, obviously they're co-workers of ours, but they do a lot of projects for us within the parks, and they just recently completed the entrance road and parking lot to that trailhead location on the new property. And so it'll be paved next year, but right now it's basically gravel surface. So very exciting, and that's Powers Bluff. A few other projects that we're looking at upcoming next year or within the next couple years. Southwood County Park, within the next probably couple weeks, if they haven't done so already, they're bringing equipment in. But we did get a grant through through FEMA, federal and state emergency management, for a new storm shelter at that location. So I'm sure you're aware, but we have a lot of different events out at Southwood County Park. State ski show. That's the largest one that we host every year, but there's a lot of different events throughout the year. And unfortunately, State Ski Show not annually, but oftentimes comes along with a large storm.
Yeah, it does seem to happen.
It's storm season.
Yeah.
So there is a storm shelter that will be constructed adjacent to our open shelter at that spot. Another project that we've got coming up is we're going to start planning for a secondary campground at Southwood County Park as well.
Really?
Kind of staying within that park also. So to the east of Red Sands Beach, we have a relatively large pine plantation. And that's always been kind of a location there that we've thought, you know, Southwood County Park actually has the least amount of campsites out of all three of our campgrounds.
Interesting.
If we had more, we would fill them. I mean, it's just very
definitely
in demand. So that's something we're going to start planning for as well coming up here. So
that I don't know if I've heard anything about that. That may be a little bit of breaking news right there, sir. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. That's not only interesting, but that I think too. I'm sure there are some people out there hearing that are thinking the same thing. It's great for our community. We're going to make use of that, as you said, but that also speaks to the, for lack of a better way to put it, the health of the economy in here, in this state, in this area, and how things are going here. It's not to say that things are all, you know, unicorns and rainbows and everything, but things are a lot better than they could be or had been maybe in previous years. That's a healthy sign right there of something like that. That feels good to hear something like that,
well,
too.
I think just outdoor recreation in general, there's a huge boom during the pandemic, and it has leveled off somewhat, but it's still up there as far as usage. Our campsites are seeing it, our trail usage, our shelters. There's a demand out there, and so it's good that we're able to provide those opportunities for the public.
Yeah. So we're speaking with Chad and Stacy from the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. And Chad, these projects that you mentioned, all great ideas. These things, did they come from a noticing a need in the community or something that were just ideas that just kind of sprung forward?
Yeah, so we try to do every 5 years a outdoor recreation plan, right? A comprehensive plan. And a part of that process, we're actually going to start that again next year. Seems like it was just yesterday.
But,
So part of that is putting a survey out, getting feedback from the public as far as what their wants are, you know. And so Powers Bluff, a lot of that development really was spurred off of just interest in additional trails in the county. We really weren't into the mountain biking end of things prior to that, but there was, you know, a certain vocal portion of the public that said, hey, let's really utilize that terrain. Let's get out there and, you know, get some trails in and things like that. So, that's probably the main driver is that 5 year, parks, recreation, outdoor, spaces plan.
And you mentioned the survey, and I thought that might come up, and I wanted to make sure to hit on that because whether it's the Parks and Forestry Department or other organizations, when they send these surveys out, I think a lot of us as community members, we kind of, okay, and then you just keep moving and everything, but it's really important you fill these things out. Usually takes a minute or two tops of your 24-hour day, and it gives vital data to people like our Parks and Forestry Department so they can make decisions like this, and we get nice things. You know, it seems like a good reason to fill out, you know, spend 2 minutes of your time filling out a survey. When you get these surveys, I really encourage you to fill them out.
Right, absolutely.
You mentioned a wonderful volunteer that helps out with the trails over there. Now, I want to send a shout out to that person and thank them. And I want to send a call out to anybody out there. Are you guys always looking for volunteers or could always use volunteers over at the Parks and Forestry Department?
Yeah, so we have multiple volunteer groups that we work with on an annual basis. But absolutely, if there's anyone that is interested, I will kind of put a shout out just because it's, you know, they've been in existence since the early 2000s, but they're getting more ramped up again, and that's the Friends of Powers Bluff.
Yeah.
So obviously, with the additional trail and things like that, our staff, you know, we don't have the ability to inspect trail as much as we'd like to. So we really kind of, we rely on those volunteers trail users, park users, to kind of be our ears and eyes and all that good stuff. But also to go out and actually volunteer on trail maintenance and things like that. So if you're interested in something like that, contact our department. But Friends of Powers Bluff is a great group to join. What's interesting about that is it's not only just trail maintenance, but also, you know, they have aspects of preserving the history of the park, getting information out there as far as the environmental aspects of the park and things like that. So
wanted to double check, they do have a Facebook page, the
sure
Friends
do.
Of Powers Bluff.
Yep.
Encourage you to, if you have a Facebook profile, go ahead and jump on there and like their page and find out more that way. If people want to volunteer, they want to know more about some of the things we've talked about, how can they get in touch with you guys? How can they find out more? Stacy?
We have a Facebook page as well.
Yeah.
A lot of information on our website, and you can always call the main office at 715-421-8422.
Nice job. Nice job. So we kind of threw that one at her. She knocked it out. Nicely done. And the website you can go to, of course, we encourage you to check out as well, woodcountywi.gov. You can find all of the Parks and Forestry Department and some of the things we've talked about today right there. And again, like that Facebook page. It's a great way to keep up to date on everything. You guys did too good of a job. You're going to have to come back. I apologize. But looking forward to it already. I want to wish you both happy holidays to you and yours, and thank you again for everything you do in our community.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
When times get dark, we can't see the help that's all around us. Let 211 be your guiding light for help with food, healthcare, and other resources.
211, how can I help you?
Call 211 or visit 211.org. 211, get connected, get help.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The morning show on WFHR, it's different.
That's when all of a sudden, if you notice every other Batman costume, the cowl is not attached to the suit anymore.
Right.
And Batman can actually do this amazing thing where he turns his head. The Joker's masterful plan of going to the left. Serpentine. Quick penguin, serpentine.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. only on locally grown radio.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to health care, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
The Todd Almost Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say it, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship.
right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power, our veterans.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
As goes Wisconsin with
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.